This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Let's go. How's it going, my brother?
I'm doing good myself. I'm the They call me the Duke. They call me the Digital Phantom. I am Bane Duke, also known as the Duke of Derbs.
Whew, that sounds crispy when you say it like that.
Exactly. I thought about that this week while I was sitting in my room while I was bored. All right. And Project you can also
Bane. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Bane, dead sniping team. All right. Anyway, you can find us on the internet and a few other places. Speaking of Bane Duke, you can find me there on Twitter at Bane Duke, B-A-N-E-D-U-K-E. And you can find Charlie on Twitter at, Charlie with an X instead of an A. You can also find me on YouTube at the youtube.com/TheDukeOfDerbs, Twitch at twitch.tv/TheDukeOfDerbs. And you can find the Visoki Entertainment YouTube channel as well at youtube.com/Visoki Entertainment. And I believe Visoki is spelled V-I-S-O-K-I-I. Did I do it?
Beautiful. 100%.
All right, and for entertainment. Yeah, and the football is crazy right now.
Football is crazy
the same way, except one, which ended in absolute insanity. Like,
football is crazy. Wrestling is on fire right now. We have
literally. Oh wait, though, that table spot was a few months ago. All right, anyway,
just about. Other than that, my man, how was your week, Garrett?
Honestly, I took a couple of days off this week because I was really exhausted from the last few weeks of just going nuts and just streaming all the time.
I respect that on a spiritual level.
So I didn't watch wrestling until kind of late this week, but I watched, weirdly, this is weird. Okay, so I'll talk about this for like 2 seconds. Weirdly, I watched on Wednesday night, I watched Dynamite. I watched it that night. I was like, yeah, I'll watch it at like 3 a.m. or something like that. Same. I was bored. And I was like, you know, I'm bored. It's 3 a.m. I'm not going to bed, so I'll watch this. And I did. And I enjoyed it. And I just didn't end up watching Rampage until like last night or something like that. And then I watched Dark Tonight. It was crazy. I was way behind this week. But I finally ended up catching up on everything. So everything's a little more fresh in my mind, I guess, which is good. But it's just a little because I usually like to be like on top of it, but it's a little more fresh. So speaking of fresh stuff that's in our mind, let's go to our favorites this week, Charlie. And I believe I am starting us off this week. I have the opening match of Dynamite this week, I believe, which was the mixed tag match. Now, technically, it wasn't the opening of Dynamite, but it was the first match of the night.
Yeah.
Was Adam Cole and Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, taking on the team of Orange Cassidy and Chris Statlander, which honestly went off way, way like different than I expected it to. Like, when you add all the elements together that happened in the match, the setting up of the table, eventually Orange Cassidy accidentally sending Britt Baker through the table, which I thought was a phenomenal spot, which led to my favorite moment in the match, which I'll get to a little bit later on because you wanted to bring that up, Charlie. But it was, like, really nice to see a mixed tag match. The only thing I will say that I don't like about mixed tag matches in general is that we can't have both the wrestlers just wrestling each other on the indies, you would just have these people wrestling each other, like all four. They wouldn't have like a stipulation where every time someone tags, they have to switch out, which I think is just a little clunky. I think if they want to just eventually do it, they'll just have matches.
Just let them roll. Yeah.
One day in AEW, I think there will be a precedent set where that'll just be what happens. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Tony Khan just doesn't like intergender wrestling or something like that, where he wants to have a specific set of matches that are that in that, like, you know what I mean?
Agreed. I think wrestling has evolved to a spot where we can have it and it can be very good. As you've referenced in the past, you know, watching, I believe Orange Cassidy wrestle certain ladies, right?
He's had some matches with, like Jordan Grace and Chris Statlander that I've seen that are pretty good. Like, Jordynne Grace, a lot of people give crap, but like you put her against Orange Cassidy and she does well. So I think there's a lot of wrestlers like that out there, honestly, that if you just put them against the right opponent, they will just look really good. But I mean, there were some really great spots in this match. Like it's great because both of them use a variant of the Canadian Destroyer essentially. So,
oh my God, that was so beautiful.
So like seeing them both like hit their, and you know, Orange Cassidy just looks so much more like violent for some reason. I don't know why, probably because of the way he does it, but like, I don't know, like seeing all the different, there was the crazy, wasn't there like a crazy stage spot too or something like that with the special stage that they had?
Yeah.
Like,
and Adam was trying, he dove in the way, so they couldn't do it. Like they're, you know, protecting each other. Mm-hmm. And then eventually I believe Britt just says, fuck this. And you know, just kicks.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, it was. The story of this match is incredible.
Yes.
Like,
yeah. Well, yeah, I was just going to say, like, the one thing we were going to bring up was Adam Cole did this thing he hasn't really done in a while. I mean, he might have done it in AEW once, but I can't remember it if he has. But he does this thing where, like, when something happens that really pisses him off, he just gets this look on his face of absolute, like, insanity and rage. And when Britt Baker goes through the table, that's like the most genuine moment that I've seen him have where he should be reacting like that, because it's his girlfriend, probably going to be his wife. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, and he gets put through the table by his like arch nemesis right now in Orange Cat. It was a great moment. It was built up to extremely well in the match. Britt Baker took the bump really well, like sold it extremely well. I mean, like it was like she did set it up herself, I believe, or someone associated with her had set up the table. So it's like, you know, like it was just a very good moment in the match, and it was fantastic to see Adam Cole just like showing off literally everything that he can do. And it's going to lead to eventually, we'll talk about it later on, to a lights out match against Adam Cole.
Yeah, at the end of the show, we'll kind of dive into the Beach Break history and what we got coming up next week. Fun show, even though the graphics look like if you've got nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all. I thought this match, dude, like I said, the story of it, I mean, this was a very fun story to follow. Whether it's, you can kind of, they kind of played it up as Britt and Adam, you know, maybe it's the first time tagging together, you know, whereas Statlander and Cassidy have had some history doing this. And that brings me up something. I want to say this is the fourth mixed tag match in AEW history.
Yeah,
I'll run through them real quick. Kenny Omega and Riho versus Kip Sabian and Penelope Ford.
That sounds like a fun match.
And then we had the iconic match, Cody Rhodes and Red Velvet versus Jade Cargill and Shaq. That was kind of the debut of Jade.
Jade's moment, Shaq went through a table.
And then about 6 months ago, we had Chris Statler and Orange Cassidy versus the Bunny and the Blade. So they didn't mention as much. I mean, maybe since there's only ever been four in AEW history, they didn't really mention it as much as I thought they would, but I thought, you know, they did play it up a little bit. A couple moments that really stood out to me, Chris Statlander in that Blue Thunderbomb is fucking amazing.
Yes.
Am I crazy to say I think Statlander might be the best wrestler on this roster? I don't know, man.
Like on the whole, like on the women's roster. Yes. Yeah. I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. Women's side.
Because I think she out-wrestles some of the men, too, but maybe just, like, some. But, like, you know.
Like, I wouldn't go as – I'm not going to, like, say tiers, but I think in terms of, like, from the wrestling that I've seen, Statlander's near the top, and she's only getting better.
If we were going to separate it into tiers, here's what I would do. I would take all the established champions that you've had in the past, right, put them, like, at the top, obviously, because that's where they're viewed.
Like Hikaru Shida, Britt Baker,
yes, like those people that have been in there, people have been in title matches maybe, and then like below that you have like Thunder Rosa, Chris Statlander, Ruby Soho, Penelope Ford, the Bunny, people that have been working for a long time to get to where they're at, you know what I mean, but have never actually gotten to that next level up.
She's just incredible, and I'm constantly, every time I watch her, I'm more in tune with what's happening. Speaking of Statlander, this brings up a question I have. Do we know Britt's next challenger?
Wasn't one like kind of not
no,
really.
Right?
They've been kind of holding out on it.
We don't know it yet.
And not to jump ahead, but she's not on anything scheduled for beach break, I don't believe. So,
maybe this is the beginning of running back stat line. Maybe they're like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's just do it. Let's
put it on stat line. I mean, yeah. I mean, that's
maybe that's
she's the one that you could put it on. But the thing is, I think you're going to run into the same problem because then now there's going to want to beat Statlander. Like,
yep. So, yeah, I agree with you. If I had to pick a favorite two, yours would have definitely been in my top two. I love that match. I felt like WWE did the mixed tag like thing a couple years ago, and it was fucking awesome. And I hope AEW continues this. I hope they got a taste of this and they're like, oh, wait, we can do something here.
I just want to see men wrestling women and not be considered like weird and taboo.
Let me get Ruby Soho versus Malakai Black. I need to see it.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, but my favorite this week is actually a match that I believe they threw together on the fly.
Because Ruby Soho versus Brody King. Oh, death match.
Yeah, that might actually, there might be death. Nick Jackson versus Trent Beretta. Garrett, this match had no business kicking as much ass as it did.
I think part of the reason why the main event was as short as it was because of how long this match was. It was just insane.
Between how you started Rampage and this match, it's like, whoa, Rampage was live this week. I love seeing that. It makes me a little more interested in Rampage. Because unfortunately, when it's taped, I mean, if there's something big that happens, chances are it's going to leak out. Just because AEW is now reaching that point of, you know, it's so popular and everyone wants to be the first spoiler. And, you know, you and I know that very well as we follow Marvel and Star Wars. Everyone always wants to be the first leaker. And it's like that with wrestling, too. They want to have their first name out there. But besides that, Nick Jackson and Trent Beretta have insane chemistry together.
Yes.
I've thought for a long time Nick is just uber talented. And I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, one Young Buck's better than the other. But my God, Nick on his own, if Matt were to ever get hurt or just maybe say he's done with wrestling or, you know, something, I would love to see Nick Jackson go on a run. And Nick is, I believe, the younger brother. So
it's harder to tell when they're both bearded. Yeah, I mean,
I think Nick's younger by like 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, so, I think so. I agree with you. I think Matt's the older one.
I did not expect Trent to win. I'm going to be honest. I know we just returned, and I understand that AEW is actually very protective of people returning, but I thought just the way it went, I was like, oh, really? Are they going to let this? And then he won, and I was like, holy shit. Basically, the closing segments, you know, Nick hits a 450 splash. He goes for the spin, goes for the pin. It's just a two count. He hits him with a super kick, goes for another. Trent counters that bitch and hits the strong zero. How do you feel about the strong zero as a finisher?
So I mean, I like it as a finisher.
Yeah, right. And Trent, no more. As we noted last week, no more Trent question mark. He's Mr. Trent Beretta, and he's getting singles wins on fucking Rampage. Let's go, Trent Beretta.
Yeah, the only thing I wrote in my notes for this match was Jesus. All right.
The major notes I would say chemistry was on point. This was fun, and if they threw it together that day of, kudos to them. Whoever put this match together.
Because it was supposed to be a tag match originally between Roppongi Vice and the Elite.
That match together, I want to say.
They probably just threw it together themselves, like you said, because they're both talented enough, and they've both wrestled that match probably before a bunch of New Japan. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. So, hey, shout out to those guys.
That's why, you know what, that's what I'll say. That's actually what I remember thinking while watching that match. This felt like the kind of match Roppongi Vice would have had with the Bucks in New Japan. Like, that's what it felt like, a New Japan style match, which AEW has every now and then because they have a lot of former New Japan talent, you know?
Which I'm always down for.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, so I guess that takes us to Dark this week, right?
Well, real quick, we had a little news we wanted to hit.
So there's contract stuff, right? Yeah.
Yeah, so kind of throughout the week, if people I've seen on Twitter, maybe you've seen other wrestling YouTube pages or just wrestling pages in general covering this, some AEW contracts are coming up. And this kind of makes sense, you know, we've known since the beginning of this company, Tony Khan's not going to fire people. Their contracts are just going to run out and they'll either be re-signed or let go. And so far he's been true to that. I believe Kaylee Ray in 2019 requested a release and he granted it. And I can't remember a specific moment after. We know a couple weeks
ago. I don't think he's ever said he's not going to grant people. If somebody wants to just go.
Yeah, exactly. It seems
them, I think.
They want a healthy working environment, and 3 years in as a company, maybe four, they've proven it. And they've their word's been gold with that. So
I think he just tries his best to get them to run out of the contract that way, because that looks better for everybody, I think. You know what I mean? It's the way he kind of looks at it. You know
and
mean?
I think with a couple of these names, I want to bring up a theory that I think is going to make a little sense here.
All right.
So there's five names that we know, whether it's from Fightful or other wrestling media. We know their contracts are up. Marco Stunt, Joey Janela, Brian Cage, Leo Rush, and AEW OG, as he goes by on Twitter, I saw, Mr. Peter Avalon.
Yep.
I noticed a trend with a couple of those names. They haven't been seen for months.
Yes. Leo Rush hasn't been on TV since the middle of that Dante feud. When all that stuff with, which we'll get into in a second, with the Big Swole stuff went down. Pretty much since then, this week, really since we've seen him.
Yep. Peter Avalon, he was on Dark recently. He's been on Dark.
He was on Dark this week.
This week, yep. But Brian Cage,
He had been on the Dark. The Wingmen had a match like 2 weeks, maybe a month ago, something like that. A six-man, I want to say, against maybe Gun Club or somebody.
But I believe Brian Cage specifically, since we've been covering AEW, he hasn't been on AEW channel
since he lost to MJF. Or not MJF, sorry. Since he lost to who did he lose to?
Joey Janela would be very shocking. And then obviously with Marco Stone, we kind of know he's pursuing.
Joey Janela's just got a massive singles win over Sonny Kiss. I would be shocked to see Joey Janela walk.
So five names. Five singles wrestlers, I mean, in a way, you know. So, I don't know. What sticks out to you with this?
Well, there's one thing that really sticks out to me. The Peter Avalon thing is kind of surprising to me because, like you said, he seems like the kind of guy that's kind of wants to stick with AEW, but they don't really use him.
And the kind of guy that's embraced his role within the company.
Yes. Like, he knows that he's not going to ever get that push, and neither probably will the Wingmen. That's why they all got stuck together.
It's like how Brandon Cutler's embraced his role. I mean, these guys have a role.
Yeah, it's funny because Brandon Cutler will hit an actually perfect move sometimes, and you'll be like, oh, he actually is a wrestler. I forgot. Like, you know what I mean? A lot of the people, I think Marvez trained as a wrestler, or not Marvez, sorry, who's the Alex Abrahantes trained as a wrestler. Maybe he doesn't wrestle well, but like, I'm sure he's going to kind of tag up a bump. And like, Andrade's manager, I think, is a wrestler because he started fighting people a few times, like, you know what I mean? Like, so
yeah,
he's like, everybody, I think it's part, I think to be in AEW at all, you just have to be able to take a bump. I think that's just like rule one. Like,
yeah, most of them probably just have in the past, and you know, maybe they've moved on to different parts of their career or whatever.
Absolutely, absolutely. But the Leo Rush thing is just kind of, it's worrying, man, because like,
I'd agree.
We were talking about this before the show, but it sets like kind of like a bad precedent, especially with the recent stuff I brought up already with Big Swole. Like, It really makes Tony Khan look real, real rough to some of the talent potentially that's coming in. Like, okay, because think about this. If you're a wrestler that's African-American that maybe didn't like some of the things that Tony Khan had to say, right? In the same way that Leo Rush appears to not have liked some of the things that he had to say, you know?
And how Leo Rush publicly stood up for Big Swole.
Absolutely. Does it make you second guess going and working with AEW at all? Because they already had this bad reputation for not pushing black wrestlers, you know?
And I would imagine, based off what I've seen from like some black wrestlers that have covered this, like Righteous Reg and some other people that work for Fightful, they've kind of set a precedent like, Leo's leaving.
Some reactions like that. I saw some people that were, that's why I brought this up, because that thought kind of popped into my head while I was like seeing some reactions on Twitter the other day. And I was
and I think it definitely opens my eyes. I'm like, if Leo was really one of the only ones that you saw go public about this, and yet all of a sudden he's taking independent bookings. Leo's announced for this term.
This is how it looks to me. I'm not trying to paint anything any type of way. This is just what I've observed. Leo Rush speaks up on Twitter. Leo Rush then doesn't get booked for months. Well, not months, but for weeks on end.
It's probably like four or five weeks. Yeah, easily.
A little over a month. Perhaps longer.
And he wrestled tonight, by the way, so he's not hurt. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, so yeah, it's true. So, and it's not like they're just not putting him on shows, and they're not putting him with Dante for whatever reason, you know? Even though they had massive chemistry in the ring. It's like, I don't want to be the one to connect these dots here, but it looks really bad if you're somebody on the outside. Like, if I come in and then I speak up, am I just not going to get booked, or am I going to get let go? You know, like,
the optics of the situation are not good. I hope they can figure it out, because obviously I love Leo. You love Leo. We've been Leo Rush fans for years at this point.
We were sitting there while Leo Rush, because remember, there was there was a little bit of controversy when he was with the WWE that got him not booked for a while. And it was a little weird because then he came back and they gave him a massive push. So they must have just known the potential that he had and they didn't care at some point. But like,
yeah,
man, he for years was just not booked there. He's not booked here. I don't blame him for just walking if he's not going to get booked where he goes.
100%. So. He deserves to go wrestle, and hopefully it's somewhere where they actually give a shit about him.
Yeah, it's like, so for years I didn't get booked and pushed in WWE, and then I sign with you and you don't do that either and you expect me to stay. I mean, also, what? That's such a weird contract length. 5 months or whatever? Like,
yeah, what the hell?
What was that about? That is the weirdest part
seen,
of it.
I haven't really seen that mentioned anywhere, but Leo was just All Elite. I might be able to pull up the exact episode.
You probably could pull up, yeah, because
it's
bet
not
you
that long ago.
If you find the photo, even, you probably backlink it to the Twitter post. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I don't know, man. It's very strange. I guess, like we said, we're just going to have to keep an eye on this, really. So,
September 30th is when they posted it on the AEW website.
The hell? And his bookings are up February 14th.
He could have been signed before then and they just didn't post it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's
maybe September 14th.
I learned that trick. I don't know how I learned that trick actually for finding it back through the Google search.
That's
anyway,
like a 5 month contract, huh? So
brutal,
weird.
Brutal.
All right. You want to run us through, Dark Elevation?
Yeah, what about Elevation this week?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Let me just pull up my notes really quickly. Elevation actually opened with like a really – it wasn't a long match or anything like that. I don't think. I can check the time on it really quickly. I'm actually curious because I don't actually remember. Hopefully this doesn't like play through or anything like that. That'd be awkward. But all right. Anyway, sorry. I'm going to do that while I'm talking about this. But we had Matt Sydal and Lee Moriarty taking on a couple of jobbers. To open up Elevation, and these are just the things that I noticed throughout the match. Everything that Lee Moriarty does, and I think I've said this a couple of times, just looks crisp, man. Like, it just looks great. I don't know why, but everything Moriarty does just looks great. They had mad synergy in this match. Like, they were just, they looked like a tag team, more so than I think that Dante and Sydal did, or even Dante and Leo did. Like, I think they looked like a unit, all like, they've been working on some stuff off screen or something. Like, you know what I mean? They looked good together. Another cool thing was this match's finish was a submission that I guess was passed down to Moriarty from Alex Shelley, who used to tag with Matt Sydal back in the day. So that's just a cool little touch to throw in there, even if that's not actually true. Even if Alex Shelley had nothing to do with it.
You're not just throwing these guys together, man, because there's something there.
I agree. I think there's a tag team there, and especially like we've talked about this, and we'll get into this more when we talk about the moment when it may have had a little bit of significance later. But like, it's these two have a lot of potential, and Matt Sydal has been doing this for a long time. I mean, he was toiling away over in Lucha Underground for years. You know what I mean? Like just having ridiculous matches. You know. Anyway, we went from that match. I don't actually know what the submission was called. It was Alex Shelley's old submission, so you can find out what that was. But Ty Conti had a nice little win in the next match. She used the Ty KO to finish her.
Nice
opponent.
To see her still pick up some victories.
It wasn't like spectacular or anything like that. It was a good Ty Conti match. I guess the chick that she was wrestling, I believe, in this was. I said chick. Wow, I sound like an absolute. Anyway, she sounds like she was like some kind of like martial artist. So I like that they give her opponents like that, and they do that with guys when they like. And they remember they were bringing that Ruas guy in for a while, and they were doing the same thing. They were giving them actual striker opponents to fight against. It
yeah,
it makes it feel a little bit more legit and a little bit different. But it was a tie KO for the finish. You know, I like that she's got multiple ways to finish opponents. It's good. Up next we had the Gun Club.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, it adds more verisimilitude when we're watching her in these big matches and she hits at that, oh shit, she might actually pin her.
Yeah. Because you never know. Like, I think something AEW does well is that, like, your signature could also be your finish. You know what I mean? Like, it just happens. It's like kind of like when you're playing a wrestling game. Like, sometimes you hit the signature and it's like, oh, I can pin him here.
Blue Thunder Bomb.
Absolutely. Yeah, anyway, so the next match, we had the Gun Club picking up a win against a couple of tag team
Dobbsky
brothers. Colton Gunn looked phenomenal in this match. I've done this before with him, but Colton, I think, might actually be like closer to Billy than Austin is in terms of his actual wrestling style. And it shows because he just does everything that his dad used to do, and it looks perfect. And like Taz was shouting it out in this match because he looked great.
I know some people hate the Ass Boys, but I feel like they have a spot in this company.
Mark Henry, I think. But yeah, no, they're great, honestly. And like later on in this week, we get some stuff with them that I think some people are going to be annoyed by, but like, I think they might be ready. They used the Colt 45 to finish this one. It's a great finish. It's a great name. I like it. It was a good match. It was just a quick little, all right. So Frankie Kazarian got a squash. He choked him out with the crossface chicken wing for the dub.
Real quick about the guy he squashed. His name was LeBron.
So this is the guy I was telling you about that I liked.
He needs to change that name.
And
if the name LeBron.
Yeah, true.
You know, that's one of those names, man. I mean, I know he spelt it different, but still.
I know. Yeah, he's going to have to change that probably. But I liked what he had in the ring. He looked interesting.
Great look. Yep.
And he did some interesting stuff. Like, I think he was trying to, like, every now and then a couple of these guys will just be like, yeah, I'm just going to give you some randomness. And, like, Frankie loves that shit. He'll just start wrestling you. He doesn't give a fuck. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? He's like, okay, fine. We'll do it, you know?
Quick shout out to Frankie Kazarian, man.
He's just great. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Throughout this match, they were talking about, like, the wild history he's had since he's been in AEW. And the Elite Hunter, like, just great, great guy. You know what I mean?
Wonder what's next. Right.
Ruby next. Soho. Yeah, I wonder. We'll have to see. Ruby Soho got a quick win. They've been doing some interesting stuff with her in matches on Dark. I don't know if you've noticed this, Charlie, but they've been like finishing matches differently with her, and like she's been taking on like random weird opponents. Like, I like this. It's like she's just kind of like the female Dark. Just like she's the one that wins all the stuff on Dark.
It's time to recruit her to the House of Black.
Ooh, all right. I still think her tagging in a mixed tag with like CM Punk would be sick.
Oh my god, dude! Yeah,
I think I just booked a match. Anyway, she finished it with a no future kick. I like it because it came out of nowhere like she did in this match. It's just an enziguri, I think, or something close to that. Anyway,
yeah,
like a back heel kick or some weird. I don't know what it actually is, but like it's good.
I remember her hitting it on Nia Jax and it looking like she actually just kicked her in the throat. And I was like, I fell in love with it.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good move because she can do it in a couple of different ways. Well, so,
yeah, I said not. I totally meant Nyla Rose. My bad. I totally fucked that up.
That's OK. It's OK.
I would like to see those two have a match.
I don't want to see Nyla get hurt. All right.
Come on. All right.
Who can sustain more injuries match? No, I'm just kidding. No. All right, I'm getting canceled for that one. All right. So the next match, we had Private Party picking up a nice W with one finger as the pin from Isaiah Cassidy. Isaiah Cassidy and Mark Quinn are just great.
Give them a push.
They won't. They won't. We discussed this earlier. They literally won't. Just like they won't push the Acclaimed. Just like they won't push Leo Rush. Just like they won't push Dante Martin. Why did Dante Martin disappear off TV for a month?
You're not wrong. AEW is doing this thing right now where they just need to start giving everyone 6 week title reigns so they can all have their title reign.
Oh, fuck that. Nope.
Private Party up next.
Fuck.
Hey, they have new management though, which we'll talk about.
Absolutely. So, and then the final match of the night, we had Jay Lethal have a nice little quick end of the night match. It was like 10 minutes or something like that. I don't know. It was kind
Hell
of
strange. Yeah.
I liked the little like, I love when the crowd at Dark gets involved because like sometimes they yell dumb shit, but sometimes they yell funny shit. And Jay Lethal is the crowd love Jay Lethal. I mean, it doesn't matter where he goes. Jay Lethal's been around for long enough that everyone's just like, yeah, dude's like. I still go back every now and then and watch the segment of him from TNA with him going back and forth with Ric Flair. It's still one of the greatest segments in the history of wrestling. It's so random. Oh, I mean, like
unbelievable amount of charisma.
Just like the and like Ric Flair having to just acknowledge, okay, this guy's pretty good. Like,
this guy's got some sauce.
But the Lethal Injection is still a fantastic finisher, and I will hear nothing else. Jay Lethal picks up the win with the Lethal Injection. All right, and I think he rolled out of like a schoolboy into the ropes, flipped in for the Lethal Injection. It was just a great finish to the match. Like,
now for those that have been following us, they know what I'm about to say. Is it a coincidence? Both Jay Lethal and then Seidel and Lee are bookending the show.
I don't think it is. We'll get to that later.
So I think there's something going. I hope and think there's something going on there. But yeah, we'll run us through the AEW Dark results real quick. And kicking us off from Universal Studios, Adam Cole versus Khan. Garrett,
the hell is this guy?
This guy, he needs to be signed yesterday.
Exactly, but Anthony Green first.
Anthony Green first, Khan. Dude, give me Hook versus Khan.
No, because then Hook probably loses that match. No.
Bring Khan.
You know, don't feed Hook to Khan. He's a
this is the kind of guy that they should recruit to one of those fucking teams and just start beating. I mean, but
I was thinking about that. He would be a fantastic tag team partner for somebody.
Hey, man.
Who would you put him with?
What's Kazarian doing right now? You know? Hey. This was a good match. We've noted this before.
Let's go, Bebe Chan.
Yeah, we've noted this before, but when guys like Adam Cole and stuff go on Dark, they actually give the guys a wrestling match. And giving someone like Khan a wrestling match, someone who's kind of making a name for himself on the indie scene, and he's got a little bit of a fan base, for him to get this match, I think puts him on a bigger scale, really, right? Adam Cole's promo after was kind of previewing Dynamite.
Money.
Story time with Adam Cole, baby. He put over DMD heavy. And yes. Garrett, he talked a lot about legacy.
Yeah.
Adam Cole cares about his legacy. And I think
of course he does. I think that was obvious from the fact that his group's called the Undisputed Era. He wanted to leave an undisputed mark on wrestling, and he did for 4 years in NXT. You know what I mean?
And the fact that he cares so much about his legacy, I think it shows that he's not just going to come into this company and just, you know, he knows who the fuck he is. He knows what he could fucking steamroll through this company in his sleep, but he's going to earn it. And I think that's why we're seeing the stuff with Britt, and why we're seeing the stuff with Jungle Boy and Orange Cassidy. He wants to earn it. They could have just put him right away, you know, and he knows they could have easily. Moving on.
Absolutely.
Ass Boys.
It's an Ass Boy.
Big week for them. This time it was Austin picking up the win with the sit-out powerbomb neckbreaker combination. They faced a couple fellas that I have not seen before, but one of them had a pretty cool mask. I believe his name was Laurentes.
They have some random tag teams, man, on Dark. It's wild.
And then one of these themes that I've been kind of jamming a little bit lately in our third match, Layla Hirsch. Dude. I'm digging Layla.
I like how she got signed purely off of like one performance, pretty much. She had been with the company for a little while, but like that one match that she had against Jay was just like.
It's like, we know what we got here. And it seems like they might actually be setting her up for Statlander. They tease that again in this. So.
Talk about going and taking your contract for yourself. You know what I mean? Like, she literally was like, you know, I'm sick of not being on this roster. You know, like.
100%. We had a quick squash match with Lance Archer for obvious reasons. They're trying to build him back up for Hangman. In our fifth match, we had another quick squash match. This is just kind of build up for the match on Wednesday. And this was Varsity Blondes picking up a victory.
Brainbuster into like, I don't even know. It was like a sick, this is what I wrote, sick quick combo of moves to end it. That's what it was like.
Yeah. Brian Pillman picks up that victory. And Julia Hart was not.
She was weird in this. She didn't do any of this stuff on
sussed out.
Dynamite.
Yeah.
She did some of it, but not all of it. And I was just like, okay, so maybe they're not.
It almost gives you the idea. Maybe they ran that idea on the tapings, and then by the time the show came, they're like, yeah, you know what? Maybe let's not do that.
I think they want to insert a female into the House of Black. I just don't know who it's going to be. It'd be kind of cool if it was Sarita Deeb.
So. Yeah. In our sixth match, we had Red Velvet picking up another victory, and I don't think this comes as a surprise. I think we both kind of assume Red Velvet maybe Jade's challenger at the pay-per-view or something. I think
possibly,
that's what
they're setting up. Possibly, yeah, she beats Layla. Yeah, that makes sense.
I really think Red Velvet's getting set up here. Sky Blue again. Hey, she had a match against Serena.
Okay, so they're going to sign the Renegades, right? Clearly.
Yes, and the Renegades look great.
They look the same, but yes.
Yeah, Charlotte and Robin Renegade. Yeah.
They need to find some way to, like, you know how the Usos would always have one that would wear, like a rag or something, like, in their pocket so you'd know which one was, like, something needs to happen there. Like,
Sky Blue has a twisting flatliner that picks up the victory, and I mean, look, Sky Blue, she's got a good look. She clearly, I think she can go in the ring. So hey, you know, more power to her. She didn't really get a chance on Wednesday.
I'm still waiting for the Anthony Green Sky Blue Red Velvet faction called the Rainbow Warriors. I'm still waiting for it.
And Orange look Cassidy special guest fucking enforcer.
Oh, Jesus.
Eighth match: Anna Jay with Brody Lee Jr. Again. As we've noted, this is just kind of setting her up. You know, quick.
Wait a minute, Malakai Black! No, I'm just kidding.
Quick stat pad for for the next week. In our ninth match, this is the one we've been waiting for, Garrett. Daniel Garcia with 2.0 versus Anthony Green.
The greatest of all time, Anthony Green.
Holy shit, can these guys go in the ring together?
Anthony Green is, dude, if they don't sign Anthony Green and he ends up going somewhere else, I'm going to be so disappointed with AEW.
Can't miss, doesn't he?
He has that thing that I've been talking about for months now. Just can't describe, but he has it. And if you don't sign him, he's going to have it somewhere else. Like, and then he's going to become a massive star, and then you're going to sign him, and it's going to cost you way more money. You know?
These guys had great chemistry together. 2.0 were being pains in the ass, ganging up on the ref. Fucking
the modified abdominal stretch for the finish, that was phenomenal.
God, just beautiful.
Daniel Garcia wrenching back on submissions looks so brutal. And I think that's, like, a lot of people, like, put him in that category and they think he's not as good because he does a lot of technical submission moves and stuff like that. But he does that because it looks so painful when he does it the way he does it. I don't know what he does that's different, but when he wrenches back, it looks really painful. Like,
I agree. In our 10th match, Buried Country facing a quick squash match. I mean, here's the thing. We know where this is going. They're just going to win a couple more just to get their ass beat in 2 minutes against an actual tag team.
Want to hear what I wrote in my notes?
Let's hear it.
I don't care anymore. Just get rid of them. You're not going to use
pain.
Them.
Pain.
Just cut them because you're not going to use them. You're just going to make them look like fools. They're not going to care, clearly, because if you ever see anything with the guys, like, from, like, any of the vlogs that they just randomly pop into, they seem like really nice guys that don't like to, like, start shit. So, like, I just don't think they'll ever stand up for themselves. So they'll just be.
Yep. I agree. And it's something to keep an eye on. I hope that they can figure it out and that we can get, you know, maybe some resurrection for them, but it just probably won't happen.
No, I mean, by the time it happens, they'll have lost to so many opponents on their way up to stuff. It's like, it's not going to matter. Like, I'm never going to see them as credible. Like
Sean Dean, dude, he's going to have to win 60 matches in a row to even have a decent win.
Well, but Sean Dean is a good enough wrestler and they've given him enough competitive matches. The thing is, when they lose on TV, they lose badly. They don't get any offense in.
I mean, we still haven't seen Wheeler Yuta or...
Okay, of all the times the Bear Country have been on TV in the last 2 months, which is two, by the way, I've been keeping track, because this has been a thing that I've been fucking ragging on for a while. You can tell how upset I am by this. It's so annoying, because they're really talented. This match showed it. They can do random crazy moves, like the double, like, whatever that thing is called. Like the
this could be their second version of, like, of a war machine, man, when those guys were fucking torching Japan.
Oh, my God. And, like, that team was repackaged multiple times, like, trying to get it to work, and it just never did over there. And it's like, this could have been, like, the next athletic big man. Why is it every time there's an athletic big man team, the promotion just does not book them? I don't get it. Like, but they will be booked here. Maybe, I mean, if they're okay jobbing out to everybody over the next, like, and maybe they are. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe they need a leader. 11th match, final match, the main event is kind of teeing up our Dynamite match we talked about. Orange Cassidy and Wheeler Yuta facing the Wingmen, JD Drake and Peter Avalon. Could this be one of Peter's final matches?
Probably Peter's last match in AEW, I would have to think.
The swan song. His gimmick looks great. His hair looks great. I actually enjoyed the match for what it was.
It was only 10 minutes long, honestly. I was still like kind of short for a main event.
Yeah, and Ryan Nemeth out there. I love Ryan. I hope we see him.
He doesn't get booked. He's a guy that will end up signing with WWE for a lot of money. That's my prediction.
I can see it.
He'll leave as well.
Team Mobile with his brother over there. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Can you imagine the oh, what would they call him? You think it'd be Ryan Ziggler over there?
Yeah, they could. Yeah, probably. I mean, who knows?
Or maybe something else.
Maybe that's where they changed Dolph's name. Maybe they changed Dolph's name.
Maybe finally he becomes Nick Nemeth. Oh.
The Nemeth Bros or something.
Oh, yeah. The Nemeth Brothers. That actually sounds, and have them be a heel tag team. Actually, you know what? I might actually get me to watch a little bit of it.
Fucking add them to the Dirty Dogs. No, but Cassidy connects with the Orange Punch to pick up the victory.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, hey, Dark was what it was. It was, you know, and they had some good stuff on there. So we'll hop into the main course of our meal here, and that is AEW Dynamite, Garrett, and a little bit of an emotional start to Dynamite.
I did not know this was happening. I'm not going to lie.
The return of Jon Moxley. Here's the thing. We can't really put into words what this promo was. If you haven't seen it, you know, you're just catching up on wrestling for the week, kind of listening to us and just kind of getting the vibe. This is worth checking out because this felt real. It truly meant a lot from him. Right off the bat, the first words he says pretty much are telling a heckler to go fuck themselves. And I mean, yeah, this is, I can't really say his words and put them into a better perspective than he did, you know?
Yeah. What I wrote in my notes was this is like inspiring, you know, that's what this was.
Yes. Good point. Very inspiring. So
this is an example of somebody who took the time to check their mental health and make sure they were okay and make sure that they were healthy.
And rather he looked great.
Oh my God. He looked exactly.
I saw the side by side of him from, you know, a couple months ago. Last time we saw him. Holy shit.
He looks exactly how he did when he debuted as a part of the Shield. Like,
he looks great.
I think he wore that jacket the way he did with nothing on it to make that point. Be like, hey, I'm in just as good a shape. So that shows you how big of a deal this actually was, you know, like for him. I mean, I'm excited to see what he's going to do in wrestling now. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, and we got a tease of that on Rampage.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. That was an emotional start to Dynamite, but it was very good. We then cut to MJF backstage with Wardlow. He's cutting a promo and says he would have won if he was a seasoned veteran.
Yeah, he basically was cutting a promo on Wardlow, essentially.
He says that Wardlow put his hands on him and crossed the line, and then MJF, he's like, look, buddy, I'm just going to have to dock your pay. And then MJF starts talking to the camera some more, but none of us are looking at that.
We're looking at Wardlow.
All we can look at is Wardlow just staring at MJF angrily.
Staring a hole through MJF. I mean, that's when that finally happens, when he finally attacks MJF, it's going to be glorious. What if he costs him against CM Punk?
Oh my God, I'd love it. Actually, no, I want them to have a finishing match. But no.
Yeah, true.
I like how we're both in agreement. It's like, yeah, we were just watching Wardlow at that point. And we then have our match of the mixed tag that we talked about. So we'll move on past that. The Inner Circle's Chris Jericho, Santana, and Ortiz are doing a backstage interview with Alex Marvez. Jericho says he doesn't give a damn what Eddie Kingston has to say. And pretty much Santana and Ortiz cut him off, dude.
Yeah.
He says, Kingston said something last week that may be true, and to tread lightly, because they do give a damn about Kingston.
I would love to see Santana, Ortiz, and Eddie Kingston become a faction, and then have Sammy Guevara, Jake Hager, and Chris Jericho remain as the Inner Circle. That would be awesome.
And then as this is going on, they then say they question Jericho because of him that may be the reason they've never been AEW tag team champions.
Think about it, dude.
Is this our first ascension, like truly within the Inner Circle?
They broke up originally, right? Once. Well,
they've never technically broke up. They did feel like they went separate storylines for a little bit there.
Yeah, I mean, because Jericho was like doing stuff, and Sammy was going after the TNT title, and
no factions really break up. It's kind of neat.
No, even the Dark Order, which did break up, didn't really break up because they came back together. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, and MJF broke apart from the Inner Circle, and
yeah, but that was
a pseudo storyline. It was like two months. It was a beautiful storyline, but yeah. Look, I'm cool with this. I love Santana and Ortiz, and I really hope that they don't miss on them.
I would love to. Honestly, and them and Eddie Kingston having history together, which I'm sure they do from the indies that you could probably find and look up, like that would be fantastic to see them tag up again. And then like if you throw Moxley in that mix too, I mean, you could have some really fun matches, you know?
Yeah, I wonder if they're going to touch Kingston and Mox. Adam Cole's
they
backstage.
They were a tag team.
Cutting an interview says that Orange Cassidy's been a thorn in my side for too long. Challenged him to the Lights Out match on next week, and that will end his career. So,
yes.
Yeah. We got a quick CM Punk and Sean Spears highlight. They're really teeing, and then we jump into the match. I say match. Quotations.
Damn, bro. Sean Spears took that fucking quick L this week.
And I can't lie. Basically, Punk caught him right away with the GTS. Punk wins 1-2-3. Probably like 15 seconds, maybe not even. I feel a little bad for Sean Spears after that promo we did last week that was so good.
Yeah, he cut a really good promo.
Such a great promo just to get... But for the story...
Maybe that's why they cut the promo like that, so he'd have a moment before he gets brutalized. You know what I mean? Like,
and for the story of Punk versus MJF and how MJF says, I mean, even with Lee Moriarty, you couldn't put him away in 15. It's like, for the story of this feud, this was the perfect decision. And it caught me off guard. I was so excited by it. I'm like, I love this.
Yeah, it was good. I don't know when we're actually going to, obviously we're probably not getting this match till Revolution. So they're going to find other ways to stretch this out. I don't know how they're going to necessarily do that. I'm excited to see because, you know, they're not going to have this match on Dynamite, obviously, or they would have probably at Winter Is Coming, you know?
Yeah. So,
or one of the other shows like that.
A lot of promos tonight. We then jump backstage with a segment of Billy Gunn confronting Christian Cage. Christian looks great, by the way. Gunn says his boys are ranked in the top five and they deserve a match. And then Christian Cage kind of insults him a little bit. He says, you know, the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree, kind of noting that Billy really never did anything, you know, on his own. And then the Ass Boys jump Christian and kind of beat the hell out of him.
Yeah, so I guess that's the feud we're getting for the first title defense for Jurassic Express is going to be against Gun Club. So we've been, for like a few months now, we've been noticing how they've been pushing the Gun Club on Dark.
Yep.
This is what it was leading towards.
Yep, so this is a good challenger, and I'm glad, believe it or not, they're actually building a little bit of a feud. Hey!
It sounds like we might get, like, even before we get the title match, or maybe after, we'll get Christian wrestling with Jurassic Express, potentially. So
give us like a six-man. Yeah, I'm with it.
It feels like that's what this is all going to lead to. Maybe at Revolution, maybe they'll have the tag title match before then, but the feud won't be over, but they won't give them another title match. Just keep that precedent, you know what I mean? They'll just have, like, a six-man or something. Because, like, Adam Cole did that, even though it wasn't a title feud. Like, they still did that, like, where they ran it back with multiple ways when they were feuding with Orange Cassidy with the Elite or whatever. Not Orange Cassidy, sorry, whoever it was. Anyway, you know what I mean?
They made it interesting. So I'm cool with that. It's like we've said, the Ass Boys do deserve to do something based on the rank.
Ass Boy! All right, anyway.
Then another promo time. Cody Rhodes. It's probably one of the more important promos we'll dump into. Yeah, Cody comes out. There's the 16 to 20 foot ladder in the ring. Cody asks the crowds what do they want to talk about tonight? And then they're chirping at him a little bit. He goes on to say, like, how the pipe bomb, he's like, oh, I don't know if I should say this, but you know what? I don't know if I'll ever get the chance.
That's like the third time I think I've heard him say that in a promo. I'm gonna be honest.
He says the pipe bomb was a new revolution. And then he starts getting real fired up. He's like, he talks about how CM Punk was the return of the decade. And then he talks about how he did everything Punk spoke about in that pipe bomb. He did. He brings up the Forbidden Door. He says he built it. He talks about he's been gone for 2 weeks. And he said, I know Red Dragon graduated from hip toss class, but I don't need to see the Bucks beat developmental again. Dude. And then he goes on to say, oh, man, this was brutal. He goes on to say, I know we're not in the business of renaming people Gunther McGilla, buddy. But showing up to AEW calling yourself Brody takes balls. I never put two and two together about Brody King having that name. Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's why they waited for so long. You know, they weren't comfortable.
It's possible. And then the Gunther McGillicuddy. So if you guys aren't aware, this week Walter had a name change to Gunther, which was originally going to be Gunther Stark, which is a Nazi commander.
Yeah.
And talk about putting yourself in some hot fire there.
There's no, I'm sorry, but like.
There's no one on fucking Google. Why did they just change? Real quick.
I mean, Walter to Gunther almost, I can kind of see that. Like, he looks more like a Gunther if you really think about it. But, like, if he doesn't look like any name you're going to give him because he's just a giant European man.
You know, I had like a 700 day title reign and we're going to change his name. And it's just like, you know, this is something I used to bitch about so much when we had our Raw Deal podcast and we covered WWE Wrestling Weekly.
Yes.
My God, I fucking hated what they do with names. And you know what? AEW doesn't even think about it. In fact, we get people longer names.
Oh, you know what we haven't talked about?
Like, what's that?
Did we talk? We might have talked about this briefly last week, but I guess Mustafa Ali's release is being denied.
Yeah, dude, what the? He posted a picture of the Joker burning money. I thought that was fucking great.
Like, that's he's just going to sit at home.
By the way. Yeah,
fuck he's just got to sit at home and write out his contract, which sucks because who knows how long he's left.
This is the kind of stuff I know Tony Khan takes notes on. And he's like, I don't want to be that guy.
Ollie's going to be signing with AEW probably now, especially after this. I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
so pretty much to end that promo, Cody calls, says Tony Khan sent him a contract for his match against Sammy, and maybe it's not the contract he wants because, as we talked about those contracts earlier, Cody Rhodes is also a free agent right now. But obviously, Cody's not just going to. Oh, Stardust is showing up in the Rumble. I know. Guys, Stardust isn't going in the Rumble. You know what? If he does,
hold you can see how disappointed he was when the crowd started chanting that. You know, like, he was like, come on, guys. I'm not going to leave AEW. I helped start this place. You know,
So, yeah, again, I mean, this sets up the match for next week. We'll talk about at the end kind of what we think of that match. And
my favorite thing he said, when he says when wrestling has more than one royal family, he doesn't just mean him. He means the entire AEW fan base is the royal family of AEW, you know? Which I thought that was really good line.
It's nice. You know? It's very nice. But yeah.
I'm excited to see him and Sammy in a ladder match, by the way. Like,
100%. That's gonna be fun. I'm saying that a lot.
You know there's going to be death.
That's like my new... So I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
Jade Cargill
will take on Anna Jay in an open challenge, and Anna says she will do it if she takes the win. Okay, but you need to understand that I am that bitch. I love, you know, Jade. I believe her when she says this because she's so fucking. She got such a build that you're just like, holy shit, she's a badass. Yeah, that was just again a preview for Rampage, which we'll talk about. House of Black debut as a tag team against the Varsity Blondes. Not the longest match. But I felt like we kind of got to see the chemistry between Brody and Black.
There was continuity between the last match that that Malakai had with what's his name? Brian Pillman Jr.
Yeah.
He did the spot where he screwed up. It was actually one of the coolest things I've ever seen now that I think back to it. He purposefully messed up the springboard and it actually looked more brutal because he purposefully did it. You know what I mean? Like, but it actually probably was just super safe. And then he just instantly gets Black Mask. What is it called in AEW? Whatever, the heel kick or whatever that he does.
Yeah.
Right?
Can't find it right now. But yeah, we know.
The knockout. The Black Mask is what it was called in WWE. I can't remember what it's called in AEW. But, and he didn't hit the springboard properly, so he was a little scared to hit it now. I think they'd done this with Pillman one other time, maybe, or somebody else maybe had a similar thing, and maybe in a different company even. But, like, I like that. It's good because he would be a little hesitant because he got psyched out the first time. You know, maybe it's not worth it. But then that leads to distractions, leads to the, you know, this was a fast match.
Very
Brody
fast.
King looked fantastic in it.
Brody King ends up hitting Pillman with the slam, and he gets him for the victory. So Brody King... another first getting the win. We love to see it. Story here is setting up that after the match. Malakai Black's about to cut a promo, but Pac shows up on the screen for a video and says he has a newfound vision and purpose and sees Malakai Black as every other cretin in AEW, and he will
this
not.
This is going to be such a good feud, dude.
My God, this is like this is something we
do. And you know what we can do because there's a particular injury? We can have tag matches between House of Black, Pentagon, and Pac.
Give me what I want.
Which I need just it. Sounds like strong style from hell, you know? Like,
dude.
Those are four of the strongest style wrestlers I know of.
I am super down with that.
So we'll see that.
We then cut to a video of the returning Lance Archer, which that yada yada yada. We know they're doing that. And then there's a Brandon Cutler is recording a video message for Trent Barretta and Rocky Romero.
I don't know what the hell happened here. I love. He must have not had any cameras available or something. For some reason,
I love this weird gimmick of people going backstage to talk to Cutler because of the BTE thing. So it's, you know, people are going backstage to talk to him, and now not only does he do all the Young Bucks footage, but now he's doing the people that face the Young Bucks. And so he's recording a video message for Trent and Rocky, and they're challenging them, and they're going to reunite Roppongi Vice for one night. And, oof. And they're aged being like
fine wine.
They're being like super nice to him, and he's so confused by it. He's like, oh, okay. He's not used to people being nice to him. I don't know, man. There's these little things. This guy with the fucking cold spray, and now this. It's like, if I were to create like a wrestling character in my head as like a stooge.
You know what he has to do at some point? There has to be a moment when someone gets distracted and he hits a super kick on somebody. That's what has to happen. And it's like the greatest pop of all time for Brandon Cutler.
People would go fucking nuts. They would go nuts. He hits it on Wheeler Yuta. And
literally the background guy against the background guy. He hits it on Marco Stunt.
Real quick, I forgot about mentioning this when we were talking about it earlier, but it totally just reminded me. The Orange Cassidy and Britt Baker were in the ring, and Orange started doing those little kicks.
Yeah, that was good.
That was beautiful. We jump into Murder Hawk Lance Archer with Jake the Snake Roberts and Dan Lambert versus Frankie Kazarian. So I guess Dan Lambert's just going to be with two people.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
Dan Lambert, I mean, okay, so here's how I reasoned this in my head. Jake's a Snake is doing business with Dan Lambert in the same way that other people are doing business with each other later on in the show.
Okay.
Because Jake the Snake doesn't really have a lot of connections in AEW. It doesn't seem like, you know what I mean, like direct ones. So, like maybe Tully because of the age, you know, because they're both been around for forever, but like, they haven't had any. He hasn't joined up with the Pinnacle at all. Although I think that would be interesting, you know.
Yeah. So this match, they're just kind of beating the hell out of each other. Kazarian, you know, he gets thrown outside the ring. He goes for the crossface chicken wing, but he gets countered into a choke slam, and then just Lance pretty much hits him with the helicoaster and the blackout. Just, you know, all of his fucking big boom, 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 pins him. The story is kind of after the match. Fucking kind of feel for Frankie a little bit there, but he knows it's part of the gig. He's putting over the next challenger. He gets it. Tony Schiavone's asking Dan. He asks what Dan Lambert is there, and Lambert tells him not to worry about it. So even they're like, huh, what are you doing?
They don't quite know what they're like, if he's going to be his new manager. Because I could see him joining American, not necessarily American Top Team, but joining Dan Lambert's like gym maybe or something like that.
Yeah.
Because
I hope they don't abandon that, by the way, the MMA stuff.
Yeah, because that's the thing, right? Like, well, yeah, they mentioned it like a couple weeks ago on like Rampage.
Or Dynamite. I'm just saying, like with those randomly bringing in the henchmen.
That might have been a one time thing for the Inner Circle feud, man.
It could have been, yeah.
And because I don't think a lot of those. I would have thought if any of those, including DeSantos, who looked phenomenal, you know, if they were interested in actually becoming wrestlers, they probably would have. You know what I mean? But like
a couple of them talk pretty heavy shit, actually. But.
Yeah, so it's we'll have to see
it back. You know, he goes, I'm tired of this cowboy bullshit.
Yeah.
That's already old, man. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, like we've had two people say like the same shit.
Yeah, like, that's old already. And I have a feeling we're gonna probably hear it 15 more fucking times. Yeah. This is a transition challenger. This is gonna be a fine match. They're gonna beat the hell out of each other. You know, they're always attacking Hangman's character as not a real cowboy. I don't think that's the right route you should go, but...
I mean, it's like, what are you going to do? Like,
yeah, that's I know. Like, it's just... It seems lame and cheap, but I get it.
You said something on commentary. Somebody said, like, it's not like Cowboy Bob Orton wasn't actually going out there farming.
Yeah, that's right. They mentioned him.
Someone pointed that out. I thought it was good that they pointed that out because it's like, yeah, it's like, what do you expect?
I don't think there's probably.
Like, is the only real cowboy in wrestling actually Brock Lesnar? Because, like, he has, like, an actual, like, compound down the
middle of nowhere. It's just out of the 1,500 ways to start a feud. Saying he's a fake cowboy is like, come on, man. We're not fucking stupid. All right. Anyways.
Yeah, true.
We get a backstage segment with Dante Martin, Lee Moriarty, Matt Sydal, Garrett.
We talked about this last week.
It's coming. Moriarty says, Dante, you had our backs and we'll have yours until your brother comes back.
Yes.
Oh. Before we get to the end of that promo, I think they're going to do it, man. I honestly think they see the groundwork here. They. I hope Tony's heard people talking. You know, what a better way than to get a new faction going with a lot of these wrestlers that have been seen as AEW dark guys. Literally.
Even Jay Lethal, man. Like, yeah.
Jay Lethal at this point is an AEW dark guy.
I would love for Jay Lethal to become the leader of Top Flight, man. It'd be so good.
And so when I hypothetically booked this in my head, I assume Leo would still be there. And obviously later in the week, the news broke that maybe he's not. But in my head, there's a 5-person group. Leo Rush, Dante Martin, Jay Lethal, Lee Moriarty, Matt Sydal. I nicknamed the group.
Throw Darius Martin back in there because he's going to tag with his brother when he gets back.
Yeah, as soon as he gets back. I nicknamed the group Time for Flight, kind of playing on Leo Rush's, you know, time and Top Flight and all that. And
I wish that wasn't a line in Sammy's theme song, otherwise you could do it. Like,
yeah, I mean, look, I think honestly just sticking with the name Top Flight would probably work.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's probably what they'll do because that's what
I think there's so much potential here for a group of 5 young men, including, you know, and Jay Lethal being kind of this older veteran of the group. You could push Jay Lethal as a single star while also pushing these guys as single stars, having them go on winning trips for the next 6 months.
I mean, you could take any of the 3 of that combination of stars and make a trio out of it, too, when they do the trio styles. Yeah.
And it could. Oh, man.
That's the stupid thing about not having Leo anymore, is that your easy trio is him, Darius, and Dante. You know what I mean? Because Lethal would be great too, but I don't know if I would put them in the trios division.
Your trio would be Lee Moriarty, Matt Sydal, and Dante.
Probably, yeah, I would think.
So, hey.
Because of the way they end up working out, but. Well, unless Darius comes back. I feel like they're really going to try and tag them together when he comes back, as detrimental as that may be to whatever Dante is at that time, you know? Like.
But then again, AEW cares a lot about the tag division, and that might actually be the best thing for him.
Correct.
Like, or you can be like the men of the year and only get promos and really never tag together.
Because we're forgetting, Darius is also talented as hell. Very. You know what I mean? Like. So
the second half of that promo, Team Taz is Ricky Stark tells Martin he has some kind of little brother complex, which kind of got me. Powerhouse Hobbs says they warned they're coming after him.
I love Ricky Stark, man.
I do too. I'm so invested in this storyline.
Yes.
You know how it went with Leo. Hindsight's always 20/20, but man, I wish they would have stuck him in Team Taz. I think right now Team Taz would be super elevated even more than just Hook. Now, Hook is bringing Team Taz to
one level. Oh, yeah, if you had Dante with Team Taz still with Hook, oh my God, dude. They'd be like the hottest faction in the company.
And when it comes to things we don't expect in wrestling.
The match Hobbs just had.
Yeah, we would never expected that. And it's like, it's pretty cool. Anyways, I'll take us on. Chris Statlander and Red Velvet are about to cut a promo, but Layla cuts them off and says Statlander and Velvet have cost her a lot of money. Red Velvet says it's a miscommunication, and the next thing we see is Hirsch attacking both Red Velvet and Statlander. Garrett, the easiest way to start a wrestling feud, you cost me money. Easy. Easy.
Literally. Easy.
Fucking easy. And it makes sense. Every single one of us watching at home can be like, oh, yeah. Damn, that bitch. I could say, I mean that in like, you know what I mean? It's like me and you talking. Like this motherfucking Garrett, he took money from me, this bitch. Hey. I'm going to beat this bitch's ass, you know?
You deserve
it. You know what I meant. I can see how referencing women.
You're not getting your money back.
But no, it's like, it's the oldest way to start a feud. We can all relate. That's the word I was looking for. Jesus Christ. And then.
10 out of 10.
But yeah. Hey, man. A couple months ago, we kept saying, why is the only women's feud about the title? Look at how many we're getting now.
Exactly.
Tony Khan clearly heard that.
We weren't the only ones saying it.
He heard people online saying this shit, and I think he got it through.
Absolutely.
Garrett, I like Red Velvet too, by the way. I don't know, man. There's something there. Serena Deeb versus Sky Blue. Not much to note here. Pretty quick. Deeb finishes it by putting her in the Serenity lock. I saw Deeb mentioning her and CM Punk on Twitter. you know, back in the day with their, I'm blanking on the name, when they shaved her head.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. Was that AJ Lee? Did they shave the head or no?
No, it was Serena Deeb. They shaved her head.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Oh, during the Straight Edge Society stuff.
Straight Edge Society. There it is. I was like, what the hell? I can't think of it.
Yeah. I forgot that was Serena Deeb. That's so crazy.
Serena Deeb kicks ass. I love that they mentioned that. Hey, maybe bring them back. Maybe when they turn punk heel.
Yeah, because she's
anything of note for this match that you can think? Just there.
It's good to see Sky Blue is like being meant, like, you know, if she's going to be one of the potential opponents. I think we were looking at her, Red Velvet, a few others as a potential opponents for Jade right now. So,
I like the story. I like the story of the match, letting Serena get a big win.
You know who I think could actually be the one to beat Jade eventually? And this is going to sound crazy.
Okay.
I think Layla Hirsch could actually be the one to beat Jade eventually.
I'm down with it, dude. That's a
David they Hirsch had that great match. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I think that's the kind of, I think she can work different matches, but I think that's the kind of match. I think it shows like just how good that match was. Anyway, I just think it just came to me randomly, but,
All Ego, Ethan Page cuts a promo backstage and Scorpio's there as well as Dan. And he challenges Moxley to a match on Rampage. Garrett, I know you were stoked about this.
Yeah, Ethan Page getting the ability, he has the ability to just call people out and, like, he'll get matches. Like, I like that. He's being treated like a legit star because now he's been in title matches and he's been, against the top talent. And I would just like to see Ethan Page get a meaningful win. That's all I would like to do.
Yeah, I'd agree. The show, a Hook highlight package. We see some New Japan footage of Roppongi Vice versus the Bucks. And then, Garrett, this is something I have been waiting to talk to you about because I have no idea what your thoughts are.
Okay.
Matt Hardy and Andrade have a backstage segment. They have joined forces with Andrade. Hardy sold 51% of his company to Andrade, and Hardy says Andrade will now be the president. Hardy says HFO will now be known as AHFO. Now, real quick, Andrade has been doing business backstage for about 6 to 7 weeks now, I'd take a guess and say.
It all started like when he was paying off Pinnacle.
This goes all the way back, yeah, to him buying MJF's people and stuff. Yeah. So for Andrade's character, I totally get where this is going, right?
Yeah.
The other part I want to say, you and I have noted multiple times, the HFO have been perennial losers. They always lose. They seemingly now have done a big change to that and hopefully can change the fortunes.
That would be great. I would love to see Private Party and some of the other people in the HFOs.
So those are my thoughts.
Let me see all those people.
Those are my thoughts. I think it makes sense for Andrade's character. And I think this could be good for the HFO in not being perennial losers. And when I mean perennial losers, I mean losing the match. They're all great wrestlers. But yes.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on this entire – this has been very controversial, I think, or people don't give a shit.
Yeah, I think some people just – I think the HFOs get lumped in as kind of like not entertaining for some reason. I don't know why. Like they have a really good
mix. Incredible talent, yeah.
And it's just like – it's just a weird mix, you know, like – and I think – I just think that people would probably, like, if Matt Hardy wasn't on TV so much, maybe they wouldn't. But he's not really that much, like, especially, like, lately. Like, I don't know. I agree. Like, they went on Dark a lot, and they lose a lot on TV. It's like...
Right? That was my biggest thing. They needed to do something with this.
So, I don't know. We'll have to see. If it turns out being good for them, great. If it doesn't go anywhere, then what was the point? You know, like...
Something's telling me we're going to see Andrade recruit to this.
I would think so. I think they're going to expand. Like it's now.
I would have
because now you can have two sections. You can have the Andrade section, and you can have the. And that means we could have like you could maybe if you wanted to specifically bring in some like luchadors or some lucha style or some like.
I mean, you know, my brain immediately went. My brain immediately went. Oh my god! Is this how he brings in Bandido?
That'd be awesome.
I mean, oh, you want to talk about bringing in a mercenary that just immediately changes the game? I also think he's going to start cutting people. I would like to see him make cuts. What if he makes a controversial cut and cuts the Butcher out of the group? Right?
What if he cuts George Joel?
Yeah. What if he makes a controversial, you know, what if he's like, you know what, Private Party? you guys could be doing better. And, you know, and on his Andrade voice, I'm not even going to try.
No, does that.
But I think this could either mean two things. It'll never fucking matter, or this could turn around some careers. This is not doomsday for Andrade. People are like, oh, no. My God, they're fucking killing him. He's got nothing out of this. This is what he's doing? Guys, his character.
It just elevates that group. I hate to say this. Matt Hardy is fantastic, but he just doesn't, on his own, do enough. I think if they had been able to get Jeff, which for some reason, again, it doesn't seem like. Some of these talent is just not showing up, and I don't understand why. I understand there's non-competes and stuff like that, but, like, damn. Jeff Hardy got
maybe
released.
This week.
It could be. That'd be awesome.
We'll jump in.
Imagine the pop of Jeff Hardy showing up in AEW, dude. Oh my God.
I'd love it. I just, let's go Andrade. You know me. I love Andrade. It's different. So let's hope they do something with it. Darby Allin and Sting versus the Acclaimed. What did you think of the intro by the Acclaimed and the match overall, Garrett?
I love every time that Max Caster cuts a promo, essentially via a rap. It's great. It sucks because they're never gonna do anything with the Acclaimed, you know? Like,
well, they notice how the fan reaction. They at least
they know that we like them. They're the biggest heel. They're like they're the heel baby face. They're the heel team that everybody loves because when they talk shit, it's great. It's like why The Miz was so over for so long, because nobody could cut a promo like him as a heel for a long time, you know? Like,
absolutely. So, yeah.
And then a bunch of dudes showed up that could cut better promos, and you're like, oh, The Miz isn't actually that good. Like, you know? Like,
yeah. As a main event, I think it was pretty good. The goth face stuff was pretty funny. Darby Allin and Sting picking up the victory makes sense. I imagine that's going to be the Lucha Jurassic Express challenger at the pay-per-view, but, you know.
Potentially. We'll have to see.
All right. So, yeah. I mean, all in all, I think this was a fun main event, right? This wasn't like the greatest main event we've ever seen. But
no, but
the commercials weren't completely horrible. Which,
no, I mean, they haven't been really lately at all.
Yeah. And I think I want to say they see the crowd reaction with the Acclaimed. Now, this is not the first time they put them in the main event, even in this past month.
No.
They know. So, Sting, man. Holy shit. Real quick.
How is he still so good? Like, I don't
what
get
the
it.
Hell? Sting looks great.
I still want to see Sting versus... I still think it would have been fun for us to see Sting versus Billy Gunn in 2022, just to see how it would go.
Yeah, I think it'd be fun. Do you, in your head, picture an endgame that they have with Allin and Sting? Is there one? Is there one right now, or are they just kind of playing it as it goes?
When Sting retires, Darby will just go as a solo. I'm guessing.
Okay.
But
maybe some epic heel turn?
But possibly. Turns on Sting.
Could you imagine? Darby is so likable.
I don't think that they would have as good of a... I mean, I think Darby could carry Sting to a good match. I don't think it'd be as good as if they just were to end it off in some way.
Yeah. Any kind of... Yeah.
Because I think Sting, honestly... Because Darby's style is so reliant on like the dives and stuff like that, that I just don't know if he can match that.
Oh,
I mean, he could definitely do his stuff still.
Yeah.
He could definitely still do his stuff. He just isn't going to be able to keep up with the running the ropes. Like, when you go back to some of the matches he had in Impact back in the day, he was still not able to keep up with some of the younger talent, you know?
Yeah.
So,
all in all, thumbs up, thumbs down world. I am going to give Dynamite a thumbs up. The mixed match tag, beautiful. Yeah, fun show. I mean, we're so fucking... AEW just blesses
us. It's so easy to please us because AEW just doesn't do bad matches, really.
Apparently a lot of people didn't like Dynamite last week, which I find so surprising. I'm like, what?
Wait, let me look at what was on that show, because I remember really liking Dynamite last week.
I was kind of listening to some wrestling shows this week covering last week, and they're like, yeah, you know, coming off of last week, which was a little lackluster. It's like, what the AEW?
Because it opened up with an Adam Cole promo.
Yeah.
CM Punk versus Wardlow, CM Punk. If you really like CM Punk not getting squashed, if you don't care about Hobbs, I guess.
Yeah, there was a lot of promos last week, but we even mentioned that on the show last week, like that it was a promo heavy show and people probably weren't going to like that. But there were some big moments. Lance Archer came back. Brody King showed up. Pac had his incredible moment. Like, how could you dislike that show?
I feel like we're so blessed.
Garcia versus Guevara main evented. How is that a bad show?
Right. Maybe people are picking that up. I don't know, man. Shout out Daniel Garcia. Let's jump into Dynamite. Rampage, which is the complete opposite of promo heavy.
Literally. Well, sometimes it is.
Four matches, including like just balls to the wall, like our first two.
Yeah.
On commentary, we had Jericho, Starks, and Taz. I really love that team with Excalibur.
Great.
And starting us off, John Moxley is back in the ring, facing All Ego Ethan Page. This kicks off with the collar and elbow tie-up. I mean, this was fun, man. This was fun.
Yeah. Ego can go, man.
It was like our first 15, 20 minutes. This is... I don't want to dumb it down to like something so stupid, but like seeing Mox back and seeing him right back in it with a guy we love is Ethan Page. He plays a heel character, but like in his vlogs, but he's such a nice guy. He's so likable.
Yes.
I don't really know. This to me is
AEW. You should get pushed more.
This match to me was AEW. I just.
Let him and Scorp run after the tag titles for a little bit. They'd be great opponents for Jurassic Express.
I would love that so much.
Dan Lambert would love that.
Pretty much our match ends. You know, Mox hits him with the paradigm shift. He leaves the ring. He's going through the crowd. The camera's sticking on him pretty long, and we see someone standing there. Bryan Danielson is standing there, and he begins to clap for Moxley.
Dude, I cannot wait to see that. Because we got it teased during the tournament. We were going to get
it. Dude, this was going to be the final. By the way, still haven't seen Miro. Hope he's all right. Jesus.
Is Miro dead?
Yeah, right. Question mark. You good, bro?
Good. Did the white light get you?
Yeah. Outside of the really fun match.
Did he get taken by God? Did he get sent to hell?
He's in the quantum realm. No, man. This was like, when we think of like, this is going to sound so dumb, but when we watch Game of Thrones, and it's a really good episode. And then you get hit with the cliffhanger at the end that makes you like the episode even more. That's what this Moxley match was, into the cliffhanger of Danielson right there. And we're like, oh my God, I want to see that.
So we'll get the promo for that probably next Dynamite, we'll think, or something like that maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
That should be set up. That should be a pay-per-view match. It's only a month now, I believe, in between shows. You can save that.
Absolutely.
Promo of Jurassic Express calling out the Gun Club for attacking Christian. And I believe... Jungle Boy said, Billy Gunn, you old salty bitch.
You and your ass, boys. And I was just like, oh, okay.
I was kind of looking down at my phone, and then the promo starts, and you old salty bitch. I had to rewind it real quick.
Like, Jack Perry said a swear.
These guys are so fucking likable.
Jungle Boy is great. I love him.
Probably our Rampage main event next week. Unless on Beach Break and I missed it. But,
We'll have to look at the matches.
That'll be fun. Yeah. I mean, that's just really setting us up for that. We've kind of talked about that already tonight. We get Nick versus Trent. We already had that. Fantastic. Video package with Thunder Rosa and Mercedes Martinez shows how they're
feeling. Just have the fucking match already.
Yeah, what's going on with that?
Why? Like, Mercedes needs to move on to either A, somebody else, or B, not like before they had the match, but like, or B, like they need to have this at the pay per view or something, like, because they just haven't had the match and they haven't touched. Or Beach Break,
and I don't believe it's. I don't want to.
I don't think it's scheduled on Beach Break. No.
Yeah. So, weird. Hook versus Serpentico.
Hook fucking nation.
Hook Nation. Day. We've talked about the presentation of Hook, the booking of Hook, whatever you name it. The Hookening. Perfect name. Serpentico is doing a streamer thing, and Hook just fucking linebacker nails this guy.
He never got the streamers off, I don't think.
No, he just crushes him. Then he hits him with a big overhead throw. Serpentico did get a kick in the face, I believe. And then Hook locks in the red drum, gets the victory. After the match, QT comes out to trash talk Hook. Hook goes right at him, takes him out, and then steps over him like Allen Iverson did. It's like, Oh my god!
So now we're probably gonna get Hook. I've been saying, I said this back like two matches ago. I think we'll probably will get Hook versus QT next as his next match. And
that's cool for, you know. Again, we always talk about guys like kind of knowing their role in the company, and that's not to to rag on them or look. Every wrestling
QT's
company,
a trainer, dude. Like he knows what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to train people up and then win occasionally so that people can beat him and it means something. But
he faced Punk in Chicago. He faced
Cody. Yeah, he gets big matches sometimes.
Cody on a pay-per-view. Like, this guy's had big shows.
He
and
gets those
and
matches.
Now you get to be Hook's first, like, feud.
And he manages one of the cooler factions.
Like. Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, good for him. Good for Hook. Hook, I can't believe the presentation of this young man.
He feels like a fucking massive star.
Already.
And when he has that first like actually competitive match with somebody where they get some offense in on him and he actually seems like he might lose, that's going to be so much fun because you know he can go already. It's just now you need to put him in against some people and let them go. You know,
I want to see Hook wrestle one of those technical masterpiece wrestlers in Lee Moriarty.
Lee Moriarty.
Yeah, our brains. Our fucking brains, dude. That's all we got to say.
You know, it would be great. Actually, I was just thinking about this. I mean, obviously, Bryan Danielson would be like the ideal match, right?
Yeah,
but because he throws a lot of suplexes and stuff like that. But honestly, I could see him getting, I could see him locking up with honestly half of like AEW's roster because so many of the people do. But like, I was just after watching some of Trent's matches, man. I think that would be a fantastic first really competitive opponent for him to go against, especially because Trent seems like more and more he's kind of slowly pulling away from the best friends. Like, I feel the writing is on the wall for that. I feel like his looks change. The fact that he's doing this stuff with Wheeler is not just because it's like weird and they keep mentioning it. So I'm not saying it's happening anytime soon, but like maybe if Adam Cole beats Orange Cassidy, it causes a rift in the best friends, you know?
Yeah, I mean, oh man.
Because it's weird. Like, I don't know. It just seems weird that he's like
that,
having
that the route is open if they want to take it, right?
I don't think they will, though. I think he just got back and they want to run some other stuff. But, you know, I don't know. Like,
a nice babyface faction.
But he could also be a guy for Hook to, because Hook's a bit, not a babyface anyway, so it wouldn't have to necessarily matter. But like I think him or like you could anybody that just does a lot of suplexes because that's like some of my favorite matches from wrestling history are like Brock Lesnar versus Kurt Angle and like there was this British wrestling match between Will Ospreay and Marty Scurll on the indie scene where they did a bunch of suplexes and like dives and stuff like that. It was back when Marty Scurll still did dives and wasn't bad. Bad person, you know. And like, you know,
shout out Villain Enterprises. It was a great group.
Yeah, absolutely. Before that all, you know, before he became unsignable, you know. But like I mean, so like I just think that there's so many great opponents you could put a Hook up against eventually, and I'm excited to see who that'll be.
Agreed. We jump to our Mark Henry interview.
I'm so over this segment, man. Just get rid of it, please.
Nah, man, they gotta sell the shirts. We heard what Jade said TBS sounded out for, and Jade made it sound badass. And I was like, damn, this really is Jade's character. You know, Jade embraces the green factor of her character. Like, you know, that she's a little green in the ring. Jade embraces it.
Yeah.
One of the things she says is green is money. I mean, outside of that, the fact that she has the character part so fucking nailed down, you can push past kind of the green wrestling a little bit. And then Anna Jade was on to say, oh, God, I cringe so fucking hard. I didn't want to say it. Tonight, TBS stands for That Bitch Slayer. My God, I don't know if it was the delivery. I don't know what it was. Garrett, I heard this and I was like, I don't even want to watch this. I don't even want to watch this anymore. I love Anna Jay. We've talked about her plenty of times. She's fucking great. I would have been cool if she won the tournament.
Be cool if she won the championship off of Britt Baker.
That being said, the time was 10:49. The match is getting ready to start. They go for their collar and elbow tie up. It's already looking sloppy. I'm like, what's going on here? Something's a little weird. And then Jay kind of gets rolling. There's a fun spot of her in the face of John Silver. And they're flexing in front of each other. And then Anna hits her with a clothesline. you might be thinking, damn, the match just started. It's 10:52. We have a
4-minute
commercial break, which if you take a peek over, Jade is taunting the entire fucking time. I see her doing push-ups in the ring, dancing in the corner. What was this like live? I don't want to know.
I don't even know because I watched it on the uninterrupted feed, so it didn't even seem weird to me. Like,
we return from the break, and Anna is in control after hitting Jade with a heel kick. I don't know what it was. I just don't think these two had chemistry.
This was a better match to me than what she had with Ruby Soho. It wasn't like good, but I think that match was really, really like she just couldn't keep up with Soho. You know, like
okay, and I could see that point. I think.
She kept up with Anna Jay. She just didn't have like a stellar match.
I think the problem here was their timing together was just they didn't have it. I'm not going to sit here and say like I'm a wrestler and I know exactly what timing is, but just from an audience standpoint, there was a certain move Anna Jay did in the corner, and it was like I'm not going to name names, but there was a wrestler in WWE that I would always point out. I'm not going to say it because it's mean, but they do these horrible fucking moves and we constantly call it out like, how the fuck is that on TV, right? And Anna did it and I'm like, there's no way. I get sucked out of the match and I don't want to sound like I'm picking on him. This was, you know, I'm glad they got the main event. Jade's character's fucking great. Jade picks up the win. They show that she's 25-0. She's screaming green as money. They get the shot of her kid. It's like, damn, this Jade is money, quite literally. That's why the green is money.
Literally.
I think what I took away from this was, though, I don't know. It had to be the chemistry with each other. Maybe this was quite literally the first day they ever worked together.
Could be. It was a live match.
And they're both, you know, neither of them are like, you know, thespians. It could be
that Jade gets the jitters when it's live, you know? Like.
Yeah, it's something, man. I'm not going to. You know, I'm not going to pick on either one. It's just like there was something off to me. And
so you didn't feel that in Hook's first televised match. You know what I mean? Like, which is weird.
But, you know, hey, the stuff with John Silver was hilarious. You know, Simp Sterling was pretty good. The finisher was beautiful. The setup to the finisher was a nightmare. But other than that, it worked in terms of the result. I think now let's get her a feud, right? But go
possibly
ahead. Any other thoughts?
I didn't have anything else to add about that match. I enjoyed it enough that I was like, okay, that was a good main event. But
I really hated that commercial thing. That was bad.
Yeah, I guess it's hard because I sometimes watch it and it's on the interrupted feed, so I don't notice the commercials as much.
Yeah,
I know when they're happening, but I'm just like not paying as much attention. Like
10:49, they're walking out to the ring. They literally just start going. And then there's a 4-minute commercial.
Yeah, I'll say that. That one did feel like it was sudden. I mean, there's some time got cut from this match. Maybe that's why it felt a little disjointed.
Rampage normally doesn't do well with 4 matches. So I don't know. But yeah, hey, I like the booking result. And at the end of the day, I think that's all that matters, right?
Yeah, I think really ultimately.
So let's talk a little bit about Beach Break.
Well, before we do that, we need to give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down.
Oh, yeah. You know, even if I didn't like the main event, that doesn't take away from the rest of the show. Thumbs up for me. The first 3 segments kicked ass.
Agreed. All right.
Real quick about Beach Break. Let's cover last year's because this is the second annual Beach Break. And I feel like it's fun to, you know, talk about the first one. All right. So our first one, we had a tag team battle royale for the AEW World Tag Team Championship match at Revolution. So the winner of the match went on a Revolution. It's kind of nice to see the timing line up for this. Chris Jericho won last by eliminating Darius Martin.
Okay,
cool for him.
Was it a bunch of singles? Like, but they were in the same teams.
That's what it's looking like to me.
Like, so everyone was a singular competitor, but if you won, your team won, basically.
Yeah, okay. I think so. That's what it looks like. Dr. Britt Baker defeated Thunder Rosa by knockout in a singles match. This is a 13-minute match. Adam Page and Matt Hardy defeated Chaos Project, Luther and Serpentico. Wonder what the fuck they were doing together. Lance Archer in a lumberjack match defeats Eddie Kingston in 7 minutes. And Eddie Kingston was teamed up with the Butcher, the Blade, and the Bunny.
Okay.
Little bit explains why he's on Ali's vlog so much. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Kenny and in our main event. Wow. Wow, what a main event. Kenny Omega and the Good Brothers defeated John Moxley and Death Triangle, Pac and Rey Fenix. Whew. Holy, I think I need to go back and watch that.
I'm sure it was great.
What a got, match.
Like, lost in a sea of matches or something.
15-minute match, main event. I'm sure kicked ass. So, yeah. As we like to do with our shows, we want to talk about the past.
Can I say already off rip, this card for this one feels a lot bigger than
it,
that one.
It really does. It really does. Not a lot.
Maybe
of
that's because they've acquired new talent since then, and this part of the year they can afford to have a big show like that. You know, not afford, but like they have enough talent too. You know.
Yeah. So Wednesday's beach break will take place in Cleveland, Ohio. Shout out Cleveland.
Is Mox on this?
Shout out Cleveland. I'm sure he will be. CM Punk is going to address the crowd. Britt Baker will also address the crowd. Santana and Ortiz with Chris Jericho versus Daniel Garcia in 2.0.
Oh, wait, by the way, can I just point out, having a Pittsburgh person scheduled to have a promo in Cleveland, well, fantastic.
It's going
to
be beautiful. Let's just have John interrupt her, huh?
And be like, hey, didn't my the Browns may not have made the playoffs this year, but at least the Steelers are out.
It should have her curb stomp Baker. All right.
Adam Cole's like, whoa!
How you feeling about Jericho, Santana Ortiz versus Garcia in 2.0?
I think it's going to end with Santana Ortiz and Jericho probably winning, and they're going to walk away from Jericho without any Kingston or something.
I think Garcia pins Jericho.
Maybe what I said happens either way.
Yeah. Red Velvet versus Layla Hirsch. Good spotlight for them. Great spotlight.
Yeah, this should be a good match. I like Layla Hirsch getting essentially a pay-per-view match equivalent, you know, kind of.
Yeah. Ladder match, AEW TNT champion Cody Rhodes versus AEW interim TNT champion Sammy Guevara. I'd let this main event. No, it can't. Never mind. Open the show with this.
Okay. I'd be down for that. I have no idea who's winning that.
Yeah, me either. I'm cool with either. The rubber match. Adam Cole versus Orange Cassidy, lights out, unsanctioned.
It's going to be crazy.
Yeah, I'm with you. On paper, that feels like a bigger card, just pointing them back to back. Couple names we'll see again from the previous card, but a couple names we don't. Man, Kenny Omega and the Good Brothers. That sounds like a fun match to watch. But yeah,
man, guys, I miss Kenny Omega.
I do too. Hope he's doing well. But I think that'll do it for us. Anything else you want to add for the people?
No, not really. Just, you know, like I said, find us on social media. Find us on other platforms. I actually forgot to say this at the top of the show, so I'll go ahead and hit it now. Whatever podcast platform you guys are listening to this on, make sure you guys go ahead and follow or subscribe us on that. Whatever the little button is on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. And that'll pretty much do it for this episode of Eat Sleep Elite. And we'll see you all next time.
Yes, sir!
Britt Baker versus Adam Cole in a marriage of destruction match!